This is the premiere episode of a new Monterey mystery. It's entitled A House Divided. Read on. Her name is Francie Livialde. She is the great-granddaughter of a French police detective who once worked with Sherlock Holmes. She must have some of his genes because she is a consulting detective in the style of Holmes. She's pushing 40, is 5'6", with decent features and dark hair. She takes good care of herself, training in Aikido 3 times a week and walking by the ocean a lot. She lives just south of the Carmel Highlands. A writer friend of hers described her as bright, attractive, and bad news to the bad guys. She laughed when she heard it, but the description works for her. Her parents were liberal Democrats, but unlike Alex Keaton and Family Ties, she followed their track. It wasn't because they were her parents, but because she believed in the essential principles of goodness, integrity, and making sure that the concept of earning a living didn't leave anyone out of the living part. After covering politics as a reporter in New York and Washington for over a decade, she got pretty jaded about all politicians, liberal Democrats included. While some of them walked the talk, they were very few in number, and those were ineffective. She had her doubts that the greatest democracy in the world could actually continue to function as such, especially since it seemed that everyone on Capitol Hill, regardless of party, was in the pockets of some industry or another. Was it nobler to take millions from organized labor than from the corporations they battled? Initially, maybe. But when they just sat there gridlocked for decades on end while the middle class evaporated and the corporate titans got rich, beyond obscene, then no. Francie still voted, of course, but it was all too often with Molly Ivan's description in mind that the choice in 2008 had been the evil of two lessers. Francie was not happy with Obama, but she thought McCain was kind of crazy and Palin made him look good. The next election saw the donkeys look like asses as the neocons surged to the fore. Less than a year in, the 112th Congress had a 9% approval rating, and no one could figure out why it was that high. Actually, sarcasm didn't begin to describe the nation's mood, which was somewhere between fury and fear. Not a healthy spot for a democracy, but reflective of the fact that Washington, and Sacramento for that matter, seemed to be on another planet. Francie had gone through her discouraged stage and now was sitting back on her heels, her journalist's hat hanging in the closet, watching as history wrote itself. There was nothing else to be done, she said. That's the background and the reason one day recently she was in Carmel getting a new cartridge for her fountain pen at Bittner's, when a woman she sort of knew called out to her and hurried over to collar Francie before she could escape. "Francie, my dear," effused Delilah Dice. "Oh, my goodness, how long has it been?" The answer that was biting Francie's lips to get out gracefully morphed into a smile. That didn't stop her. In fairness, Delilah wasn't a bad person unless she didn't share her socialite compunctions. She was busy morning, noon, and night as a volunteer for a half dozen local do-gooder organizations, soliciting contributions, herding volunteers, setting up silent auctions, etc. Her problem was that she was under the impression that everyone shared her sentiments, and that it was her job to get as much time and money out of them until they dropped. The other choice was not to answer emails or phone calls, which was Francie's strategy. It would have been flawless if she had remained in her house all the time, but alas. "You must simply come to the event tomorrow night. You simply must." "I'm busy tomorrow, Dee," Francie replied easily, but some little voice in the back of her head said it wasn't going to be so easy.
Oh, I mean, it's tonight," the woman said, laughing gaily. "Tomorrow it's the animals. Tonight it's this absolutely marvelous man. Oh, my goodness, if I could only afford to divorce Franklin. But anyway, he's married. Gorgeous wife." "Ah," was all Francie could manage.
"Darcy Hayes is going to be at the beach club tonight."
Delilah cocked her head back.
"You're single. I know you're single,"
she thought for a moment. That was her limit, and then repeated herself. "But anyway, he's married. Gorgeous wife."
Thinking she was off the hook, Francie ventured, "Who is Darcy Hayes?" It was a mistake she would never make again. You can never encourage these people or even leave an opening. Being polite didn't count with such a protagonist.
"Who is Darcy Hayes?" she echoed. "Why, my dear Francie, he's only the most wonderful political hope of our time."
There was so much fervor pouring out of her, Francie thought she was going to faint. At least that would have given her time to get away. But the woman hung in there. "I thought we voted for Hope in 08, Francie said between her teeth.
Oh, no, dear, he was a Democrat. Darcy Hayes is a Republican. She grimaced. Well, sort of. The Republicans wouldn't let him run on their ticket, so he's running as an independent. Stupid Republicans. They haven't had such an attractive candidate in 30 years. And I don't mean just good-looking. Darcy Hayes is smart and funny, and he makes sense.
Why didn't the Republican Party like him? Francie asked hesitantly. Her curiosity piqued.
Oh, silly things. Social issues.
Which social issues?
Delilah lowered her voice. The man is pro-choice. He says gay people should be able to marry if they want. And he says the illegal alien immigrants should be given away to become Americans. You know, in a while.
I can see why the Republicans didn't like him, Francie said without smiling.
Not only that, he says we should bring all our troops home. You know, get out of Afghanistan and those other places.
Holy moly, Francie returned. Next you're going to tell me he thinks the rich should have to pay higher taxes. That stopped her.
So you do know him?
No, Dee, I was just fishing. Does he really?
Well, yes, but maybe he'll get over it. I mean, he's very wealthy. Surely he doesn't want his money to go to the government, who will just hand it over to those welfare queens.
When is this thing, Dee? She almost fainted. Then,
you mean you might come?
Maybe, Francie allowed.
7:30 at the Beach Club, she said, clearly delighted.
She knew maybe meant yes.
Francie was a get, as they say in booking circles, a get that had made her day.
Is Darcy Hayes worth the hype? Find out at the Beach Club in episode 2 of A House Divided, right here on March 15th.